Thank you, Greg. And church family, great to be with you guys and to praise our Savior, make much of Jesus. Love you guys. So glad that you are here this morning. And thank you, David and Liz, for that honest testimony here. And maybe some of you can kind of relate in the sense of you've never gone to church on the 5th, and maybe next Sunday is that first time to go. And if what Chris said to you about intergenerational relationship, if you have any questions about that, talk to Chris or I afterwards. We'd, want to continue to grow our church on the 5th and morph it to resemble the gatherings that are found here in the Bible. Tony Schwartz writes these words, "The way we're working isn't working. More information than ever is available to us, and the speed of every transaction has increased exponentially, prompting a sense of permanent urgency and endless distraction. We have more customers and clients to please, more emails to answer, more phone calls to return, more tasks to juggle, more meetings to attend, more places to go, and more hours we feel we must work to avoid falling further behind. The technologies that make instant communication possible anywhere, at any time, speed up decision making, create efficiencies, and fuel a truly global marketplace. But too much of a good thing eventually becomes a bad thing. Left unmanaged and unregulated, these same technologies have the potential to overwhelm us. No matter how much we value what we produce today, whether it's measured in dollars or sales or goods or widgets, it's never enough. We run faster, stretch our arms further, and stay at work longer and later. We're so busy trying to keep up that we stop noticing that we're in a race we can never win. All this furious activity exacts a series of silent costs, less capacity for focused attention, less time for any given task, and less opportunity to think reflectively and long-term. When we finally do get home at night, we have less energy for our families, less time to wind down and relax, and fewer hours to sleep. We return to work each morning feeling less rested, less fully engaged, and less able to focus. It's a vicious cycle that feeds on itself. Even for those who still manage to perform at high levels, there's a cost in overall satisfaction and fulfillment. To many of us today, this rhythm of busy, 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 or work, 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 or cram, 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 and then the weekend comes and we either withdraw or we crash or we binge or something else, and then we're back to Monday again. And we've replaced this biblical concept of Sabbath with now the weekend. But our Creator knows what's best for us. And so He designed us to have one day set apart, one day of rest, and that is different than the other 6 days in the week. And that's true for all of us. Whether we're a university student and you think, take one day off from my studies, that would be impossible to do. Or you're a retired person and you think, Sabbath? Hey, I'm retired. Every day is a Sabbath now. Well, no, it's not. To quote Ron Cohen's father, who said when he got retired that every day is a Saturday, and now one day is a Sabbath. It's true for all of us. And Sabbath is an invitation to relationship. I want you to hear me on that. Because some of us who maybe grew up in a legalistic era of the church, when it was more about what you can do and you can't do, and that idea of Sabbath may even leave a bad taste in our mouth. I think of one person who was in our Practicing the Way group that Sheila and I were part of, and he shared about when he was a young kid, they were allowed to go outside on Sunday, but they couldn't. They could walk to the end of the street, look at the ice cream in the ice cream store, but couldn't go have an ice cream cone, you know? And I understand the thinking behind that, you know, and in terms of not doing commerce. But again, it's not about legalism as much as it is an invitation to relationship. The Ten Commandments begin with relationship, not with the law. And so if you miss that, you miss kind of the heart behind the commandments. So Exodus 20 verse 2, before the Ten Commandments are given, we have these words, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." I'm the Lord, I'm Yahweh, that personal relational name for God. And then in light of who God is and what He has done, bringing them out of slavery, out of Egypt, that becomes the basis then for obeying the commandments. You get the difference, right? If keeping the law is the basis for relationship, that's so much different than relationship, God reaching down, and therefore then in response, we keep the law. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. See, in ancient Egypt, only the rich could rest. The Israelites, they never rested. 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, they would be making bricks. You know, and of course, many died in that process. And you've got generation after generation doing that. They grow up, that's all they know. 430 years of doing this. And so the concept of Sabbath, which God started in Genesis chapter 2, by the time the Israelites are in Egypt doing their brick making, that idea of Sabbath has disappeared from them. But God comes and renews that with them and invites them to have an identity based upon a relationship with him. And so we've been walking through the book of Exodus, this series that we're calling Entering God's Sabbath Rest. And we see throughout the book of Exodus this repeated rhythm of Sabbath as a 24-hour period set aside for him. Let me read a couple examples for you. Exodus chapter 16, the Israelites have come out of Egypt. They're now in the wilderness there. They're complaining to Moses because they have no food. They're wishing they were back in Egypt because they're stressing out and in their anxiety, they're complaining. And God says to Moses, I'm going to rain down food for the people. And I want to test them that they follow my instructions. And so in the evening, he rains down quail. In the morning, he rains down this frosted flakes kind of stuff that they say, what is it? And they call it manna. Exodus chapter 16, let me read verse 22. On the sixth day, there was twice as much as usual on the ground, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. That would be the quail and the manna. The leaders of the people came and asked Moses why this happened. He replied, the Lord has appointed tomorrow as a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. On this day, we will rest from our normal daily tasks. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. The next morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. Moses said, this is your food for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. Gather the food for 6 days, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground for you on that day. Some of the people went out anyway to gather food, even though it was a Sabbath day, but there was none to be found. How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? The Lord asked Moses. Do they not realize that I have given them the Sabbath day, the seventh day, the Sabbath, as a day of rest? That is why I give you twice as much food on the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must stay in your places. Do not pick up food from the ground on that day. So the people rested on the Sabbath, on that seventh day. So here we've got them. Right after they've left Egypt, God is trying to establish this new pattern. Okay, you've been in captivity, you've been slaves, but now this new pattern of rest in a week is being established. We see it a couple chapters later, Exodus chapter 20, which is the chapter with the Ten Commandments in it. And we see the fourth commandment, these words. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days a week are set apart for your daily duties and regular work. But the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any kind of work. That includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. Then he rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Okay, so we got the Ten Commandments there. This is the fourth commandment. It's the longest of all the commandments that are mentioned. And there's the appeal there to to observing the Sabbath because of the creation order, that God is the creator, made the heavens and the earth, and then on the seventh day, he rested. And so we ought to follow his example. In the book of Deuteronomy, which also contains the Ten Commandments, there's a different impetus to observe the Sabbath. It's because of God's rescue for them. Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. This is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So that we rest on the Sabbath day in mindful of God's deliverance and God's rescue for us. And that we are get our identity now, not from production, not from doing, not from accomplishing our to-do list, not from work, but rather who we are as children of God. One final example from the book of Exodus, and there's probably a dozen here that I could quote from this morning, but Exodus chapter 35, let me read the first couple verses. Now Moses called a meeting of all the people and told them, you must obey these instructions from the Lord. Each week, work for 6 days only. The seventh day is to be a day of total rest, a holy day that belongs to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day will die. Do not even light fires in your homes on that day. Yikes! God's taking this concept of Sabbath pretty seriously here, right? And it's almost like it's a matter of life and death here, because God knows what's needed for us. And again, think of their context. People who have been in slavery for generations upon generations, and God is trying to establish this new pattern for them. Like I said, these are just a couple of the references that we find in the book of Exodus around this concept of Sabbath, setting aside one day that looks different than the other 6 days in the week. Well, let me talk for a couple minutes on the why of Sabbath. Why do we keep the Sabbath? And then I'll invite a couple people up here to talk about the how of Sabbath. Why observe Sabbath? Well, because God created us to rest. That's his design. I remember years ago, my mechanic at the time, Ron, he had told me this story about a lady coming in, brought her vehicle. She had owned it for 3 or 4 years and had done no maintenance on it whatsoever. No oil changes, you know, no tranny flushes, nothing. And then she said, hey, can you do an oil change? I want to put the car up for sale. And then my mechanic, Ron, refused. He said, I don't want my name, my sticker on there to be associated with you and the poor practices that you've done in not following the owner's manual, the schedule for your vehicle. Well, in the same way, God has designed us in a certain way. He made us in his own image, Genesis 1:27. And then right after that, Genesis chapter 2 begins with these words. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, having finished his task, God rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from his work of creation. You know, I was thinking this week, I often think about the account of creation, and I think of the 6 days there, and I've sometimes thought, okay, the pinnacle of creation is the creation of humanity, male and female in his image. But thinking about it this week, I was wondering, maybe actually the pinnacle of creation is the Sabbath, the seventh day when God rested. He, of course, didn't need to rest, but he chose to do so. God designed us with a 6+1 schedule in mind. And it's interesting, in our world today, where a lot of people don't follow the Bible or believe in God, but yet around the world, we see a 7-day week. You know, there have been a few times in history where communist or atheist regimes have tried to replace the 7-day calendar, and they've gone with like a 10-day calendar, but it's always been a flop. It's always failed, and they've gone back to the 7-day week. It seems to be that this is how God has wired and designed us to be. And we are to mirror this rhythm of God that I just read there in Genesis chapter 2. to keep the Sabbath. Why keep it? Because God created us to keep the Sabbath. And then secondly, it's a declaration of trust in God. That one day a week, we step back from our work, we step back from our to-do list, we step back from our need for productivity, and we say, God, we trust you. Even if we feel that we're not done yet, we're not done our to-do list or not done our work, and we turn away from our regular routine and we turn to the Lord. It's declaring trust in God as our Redeemer. And for the ancient Israelites, I mean, their redemption was out of Egypt, out of that slavery, into this new way of life, you know, after hundreds of years of being slaves in Egypt. And today, our Exodus event is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we look to what he has done. And that explains the shift, why, you know, the Sabbath was practiced on Saturday, as the Jews had traditionally done, and then it shifted to Sunday for the early Christians as they gathered each Sunday to celebrate what happened on Easter Sunday. And now our redemption has been completed. A new exodus has taken place through Jesus. And so we enter God's Sabbath rest. And we take a break, because if we don't take a break, we will break. We need to save ourselves from ourselves. Because we can be our own Pharaoh, right? We can be our own slave driver. Or we can be driven by something as simple as the Pharaoh in our pockets, right? This thing never stops. The notifications keep coming. The emails keep coming, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And I was reminded as I received a text during worship. I normally don't have my phone in my pocket, you know? And sure enough, out of instinct, I pulled it out to look at that text, thinking, who's texting me at 10:10 on a Sunday morning, you know? So the world keeps going, but we need to stop, rest, delight, and worship. And we find our identity in him. And God tells us to keep the Sabbath. We don't make the Sabbath, we keep it. We don't make it holy, it is already holy. The fourth commandment there that I read of the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say as much, don't work on the Sabbath, as much as it says, remember the Sabbath. And in doing that, we're freed from our idols, as we talked about idolatry last week. See, related to this concept of Sabbath, I would say that our culture has two idols. There's an idol of work, and there's an idol of comfort. And some of us have an idol of work. We are addicted to our work. You know, we're addicts. But we're not pumping heroin into our veins. We're pumping our identity based upon our work. We're pumping that productivity. We're pumping the desire to be needed or validated because of what we do. And for some of us today, God is saying, step away from that. Find your identity instead in me. And Sabbath sets us free from that idol of work. For others of us, we have an idol of comfort. You know, the person on this side, their danger is they will burn out. Some of us who have an idol of comfort, the risk of us burning out is about the same as me getting pregnant. Like, it's just not going to happen, you know? And some of us just idolize comfort, you know? We nap every day, twice on Sundays, you know, and we work part-time, but we're really hoping that we can save up $500 because we've seen the ads on YouTube, you know, that somebody's offering this course, you know, in just 5 minutes a day, we can earn $5,000 a day, you know, by trading these invisible things on Amazon that even Amazon doesn't know about, you know, and we'll be, you know, fabulously wealthy, you know. And, you know, God's word for the person over here is take a nap. Maybe God's word for the person over here is stop napping, you know. Work, maybe like 5 days in a row kind of thing. So we have these twin idols of work and comfort. And again, the Sabbath sets us free from those. So why keep the Sabbath? Now, what about the how do we keep the Sabbath? So why don't I invite a couple people up here to help me talk about that. How do we keep the Sabbath? So come on up here, Mary and Gail and Kathy, come on up. Let's have a seat here. And, you know, none of these people are perfect in their practice of Sabbath. Have a seat here. But they've all been intentional about it. And as a result of practicing the WAY course, our 8-week course that we have, and then the Sabbath module, which is a 4-week course, they've been putting some practices in their lives. So why don't I hand you the microphone here, Kathy? Thank you for coming up here, and all of you. And why don't you just kind of introduce yourself, say something about yourself.
I'm Kathy Warkenton. My husband and I have been coming to Grace Point since about 1996. We have 2 grown children and a son-in-law, and I'm a teacher who retired in June, and now I volunteer twice a week at the neighborhood school. We moved to South Surrey from Newton about 1.5 years ago, and I'm really enjoying my new community and meeting new friends as I walk my dog every day. This past fall, we started up a home group for South Surrey Grace Pointers. We didn't know any of the people in our group before, but now we are really close and get together socially between our weekly studies.
Thank you, Rick. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share just a little bit of my life story with my neighbors. And as you can see, I've worn my Mr. Rogers special sweater on. So hello, neighbors.
Gail, I'll get you to hold the microphone right by your mouth there. But, thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I know that. I should know that for many times, not holding it properly. But I'm Gail Corder. My wife, Patricia, and I have been married this summer 49 years, which we're very thankful for. God has blessed us richly. We have 3 children and 5 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. And for most of my life, I've been an educator. But when I was 15, I met Jesus for the first time. And so for 70 years, I have been practicing the way of Jesus. And if you, those of you who are good with numbers can calculate now how old I am. But I don't mind. So I was a career educator. I worked in the classroom 48 years and have been retired many years since.
So I'm Mary Ashley. So I was born into a Roman Catholic family, in a family of 3 girls. I was the eldest. My parents both were professors, and they made sure that we all got a good education. So I did my master's in computers, and I got into IT industry. And I've been in this industry for like 20 years now. And I'm married to Ashley for 21 years, and God has blessed us with 2 beautiful children, Kevin and Kara. And my job, currently I work in a global networking company, and my job demands me to be working in different time zones. So I work early mornings, late nights, and it's quite demanding. Every day, a lot of pressures and challenges, you know, that's how I've been used to that. But by the grace of God and support from Ashley and kids, I've been able to balance it well between my work and family life.
Okay, Mary, why don't I start with you then? You just said you work for a global company, you know, and so it's Monday in Asia now. There are emails coming and notifications and things that you ought to be involved in. So how do you practice Sabbath then? Is that something new for you, doing this practice of Sabbath?
Yes, it is new for me because I know what it is to rest without God and resting with God. I see a lot of difference between them. So resting without God, I feel that it gives you a temporary relief or a temporary satisfaction, but still you have your worries and fears in your mind. It doesn't go away. But when I rest with God, it's like how the psalmist David says in Psalm 23, it refreshes my soul. You know, and when I rest with God, it gives me it fills my heart with gratitude, joy, and peace. And when that joy and peace comes into my heart, it replaces all my worries and fears and anxiety. And when that joy and peace comes into my heart, it comes in abundance. God gives it in abundance that I cannot hold it within me. It cannot be contained within me alone, that I yearn to share it with others. And that's the beauty that I see, when I rest with God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Mary, for that. Gail, you don't work for a global IT company. So what does Sabbath look like for you as a retired person?
I do have my global
okay.
technology, and it nags at me a lot all the time, so I'll just put it away again. I can get it in that box.
Because I understand Sabbath is a new or changed practice for you, right?
Yes.
You've certainly been changed as a result of doing
it. Well, indeed. Both Patricia and I have. It's a new practice for us. Before, in my early life, I was taught to read the Bible and go to church and pray for myself and others. So that was my Sabbath. I would go to church. I would serve in church on Sunday, teaching Sunday school, adult classes, wherever I could serve and wherever the Lord would have me do that with my skill set. But recently in our life, in the last 2 or 3 years, the Lord has sort of, maybe it's part of our age, but allowing us to slow down, look at our life. Maybe there's some places in our life that don't need to be done, and we need to look for what is really important. And along came practicing the way. Ideal. So I did some reading, of course, the extra reading that practicing the way has. I've read the books on prayer, and prayer then, or the Sabbath then, became an intentional practice. We decided that we need to set aside a day to, as an oasis in time, because every day is busy. There's all sorts of demands, as Rick relayed earlier. And we decided to do that intentionally. It's new. We're beginning. We're not legalistic about it. We get to Sabbath. We don't have to. Mm. So that is part of our operation there. And we do some things, which I'll explain maybe in the next question, that we do to set ourselves up for some success with keeping the Sabbath holy and keeping it alive with our relationship with God through Jesus.
Okay, thank you, Gail. What about you, Kathy? Is this a new practice, Sabbath, for you?
Yes and no. When we were raising our children, we made a very conscious decision to set aside Sundays to be present as a family. We would attend church and then spend the day with the children as well as other family and good friends going on outings that were fun for the family. So we had that rhythm of setting aside a day to stop, rest, and delight. Once the children grew up and moved out, we didn't always set it aside. We would do a bit of minor shopping, some errands, some chores. But since we started our study on the Sabbath, we have made it an intentional day set aside again. And we love to go for walks with our dog out in nature and often invite friends and family to join us or share a meal with our grown children. But it's the difference of setting it aside intentionally for honoring God.
Okay. Let me just continue on that. So how does that actually practically look for you?
So the Sabbath is set aside intentionally. It's anticipated, planned for. So we plan the rest of our week around that with the Sabbath in mind. So we do our chores, run our errands, get shopping done, so that when the Sabbath arrives, it can be relaxing and enjoyable. Mm. So we have worship music playing in the background to help us constantly center our thoughts as we move through our Sabbath day.
Okay, thank you. And I think you use that word we. So it's you and Harry kind of coordinating, right? And if you live with other people under the same roof, you've got to kind of do that, right? Like during our Sabbath module, as we were talking about it, one Monday night, my wife Sheila said, you know what? I think I'm going to stop cooking on Sundays. You know, that'll be part of my resting, which was nice, except I didn't stop eating, you know? So we've got to kind of coordinate and connect. So Gail, what about you in terms of how how is that day different?
It is a very special day, and we actually look forward to it very much because the rest of the week is very busy. The phone keeps buzzing, etc. We, as Steve alluded to in the start of the service, we get addicted to the algorithms, and they know exactly how to catch us every minute of the day and know what we're doing. And so we want to set aside that. So some of the things we do to help us set aside the day so that we can fully worship God and be with Him and enjoy His company, because He's always with us, but we're not always ready to accept all of that because of all the other noise going on in our lives. So there's some things we get to do. We tend to put our phones away. We have a box beside our sound system, and we stick our phones in there. And no buzzing, no internet connections. We also have decided that we would not shop, simply because we can do that shopping, and as you've related, you prepare for the Sabbath. You do that kind of thing on your 6 days so that the day can focus on the goodness of God and the pleasure that He brings us. So that we are flexible in that. If something comes up, we may switch the day. We maybe do it Saturday, which is our usual day, or Sunday. And we want to be flexible, but we want to honor a day specially set aside to praise and worship God.
What about you, Mary? How's your Sabbath different from the other 6 days?
Yeah, so I'm more of a listening person, so I listen to testimonies, I listen to sermons during the weekend, and sometimes I take a walk out and keep giving praises to God. I just keep saying, God, you are my deliverer, I praise you. You are my rock and my salvation, I praise you. You are my stronghold, I praise you. I keep saying this one by one, and when I complete my walking, I would have done my 600, 700 praises by that time. And apart from that, I do family devotion. We all do it together. Because as a parent, I feel it is our responsibility to make sure God's word is deeply rooted into our children's heart. So we sow the seed and keep watering it every day. So we, as a family, find some time every day and even during the weekends. So I made them read devotions, read scriptures. We share our experiences and we pray together. So that is one thing that we do. And apart from that, we love worshiping with our church community. These are the things that we do during our Sabbath.
No, thank you for that. So Mary, in the Practicing the Way course on Sabbath, talks about four movements of stop, rest, delight, and worship. Is there one of those that's kind of meaningful for you?
Yes, delighting in God's word is something that I really enjoy, because delighting in His word strengthens my faith. It gives me wisdom and clarity when I have to take decisions in my life. It gives me the confidence to speak up in my meetings. And, you know, sometimes life seems very uncertain. There are times when people or situations can put you down. You feel so demotivated. But you know what, I keep thinking of just one thing, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And Psalm 139 says that, the psalmist David says that, you saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained in my life has been written in your book. And Jeremiah 29, God says that I have plans to prosper and not to harm you. And I have plans to give you a hope and a future. When I have a God who has meticulously planned every day of my life, and he is there available for me, he knows the thought that I have. He knows even before a word comes in my tongue. And his right holds me fast. When I have a God, who has meticulously planned everything and who keeps watching me so carefully every minute and every day of my life, what do I lack? I lack nothing. And as long as I hold the word of God and keep meditating on his words, I can bounce back from any pressing situation.
Mm, thank you for that. Yes, that is so true. Yes. Yeah,
my turn.
What about you? Stop, rest, delight, worship?
Patricia and I have sort of found that it's very difficult to pick one because it is a package. However, in the earlier days of this new way of practicing the Sabbath, the stopping and resting seemed really important to us. But not to neglect the delight. We'd love to delight in the Lord. Sometimes we do things, we have a special dinner when we start our Sabbath, light candles, make us a special dinner that we both like very much. Most of the preparation has been done before that day. And that starts us off feeling good together. We also somebody mentioned that listening to music. We have a special practice. We have a special
playlist?
Yeah, a phone list or song list. What do they call those?
Playlist.
We
Let's
have
go
a
with
special
that word.
Playlist sounds good. We have a special playlist labeled Sabbath playlist so
okay.
that we can play those songs in the background or when we're having dinner or even when we're alone with the Lord as we pray and worship. And so the day is very special. We want it to be fruitful and purposeful as we engage the Lord in our life and make it very special because he is special. He's been so wonderful to us and to me throughout my whole years as a Christian. There has been lots of ups and downs, as anyone has. But the Lord has blessed me, and every time I run into difficulty or a special time when I'm feeling down, I remember, like Moses encouraged the Israelites to do, I remember what he has done for me in the past. And that is especially true on our Sabbath days.
Okay. Thank you, Gail. What about you, Kathy? Stop, rest, delight, worship.
Gail said, I think all four are very much intertwined. Worship needs to be at the core, otherwise it's just a day off. And as a retired person, I can set aside time to rest and delight, but it is the element of worship that sets it apart. To be given time to experience God's creation, to think about the one who created all this, and to have that time to rest in that, this is part of Sabbath's stop, rest, and delight, and it's also worship. If worship isn't the underpinning of our Sabbath, then it loses its deepest meaning and intent. And what is new to me since studying about Sabbath is that God intends the day to be a gift to us, meant for our restoration and renewal, a gift of grace for those who in Bible times traditionally got and also now still get their self-worth and value from working hard. Now, as an empty nester and a retired teacher, after over 30 years of feeling useful and valuable, Sabbath was and is intended to be that gift of grace, a reminder that we can't earn our value. God gives it to us because we are his, and the Sabbath is a time of reminding that we can rest in that gift of grace.
Thank you for that, yes. And thank you to our panel. All of your answers have been so great. Let's give them a hand. All right, yes. You know, and I'm sure they'd be open to any further conversation from any of you. So I would just say, church family, what does it look like for you to stop? The word Sabbath, Hebrew, Shabbat, means to cease. What do you need to cease? What do you need to stop? And then the second movement of rest. What does rest look like for you? What would be life-giving in terms of rest? One day a week that's different than the other six. And then delight. Like I said, this isn't a legalistic thing as much as it's a joy-filled thing. As somebody said up here, it's an invitation from God, not a duty, not a ought to, but I get to. So what would that look like for you to truly delight in God and to worship Him, the one who has rescued and redeemed you? You find your joy in Him. Let's pray. I'll just take a few moments of silent prayer right now. You've heard a lot this morning from different voices. Why the Sabbath? How the Sabbath? But what is God specifically saying to you right now? He brought you here. He still speaks to His people, to you. Let's quiet our hearts. Lord, I ask you right now to speak to your people here. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to be a people who follow your way. We want to be a people who engage in practices that help us to flourish, to reflect you well, that are life-giving for us. And may we continue to grow as a church in this, being who you called us to be, being set apart from a culture which finds its identity in so many other things. We, as the people of God, find our identity in you as your beloved children. And so we worship you. We delight in you. In your name we pray. Amen.